This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Beard has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, 710 Sports app. Here we are down at Seahawks facility in the rain. What the heck's going on out here? It's Seafair weekend.
Ew.
Yeah, I got boats out on the lake getting ready for Seafair. It's raining out here.
It's good for the trees, the pots, plants, flowers, the All bald right. eagles, the hawks. It's, you know what? And if it means a couple days of a little inconvenience for us
to
keep the trees up in the mountains, maybe with a little moisture on them, I will sign up for that.
Couple of thoughts. We're going to talk a lot of football today, and I'm very excited to talk to the punter. Michael Dixon, the Aussie sensation, with his 9 different types of punts, the MVP of his bowl game last year. He's going to join us coming up in a half hour. So I'm pumped for that. We got to talk some baseball.
He's your number one rookie to talk to.
We were given our choice of rookies today.
Maybe Shaquem.
I'd probably go
Shaquem ahead of him.
Yeah, but he's not talking.
Right.
So I said I would like to talk to Michael Dixon.
Yes.
I am pumped to talk to this punter. So we're going to do that coming up in a half hour. This is by choice. We're not being given the punter. We asked for the punter.
Faux show.
Okay. Here's my thing with the Mariners. We're going to get into Felix in a second. And a matter of fact, I'll even ask you guys a question if you want to jump on the horn right away this morning. Phone lines open right now.
Right now?
206-421-3776. Who would you start 4 days from now? Felix or Erasmo if he's healthy? Let's assume Erasmo's good to go. Who would you start in 4 days, Felix or Erasmo? 206-421-3776. Polls basically split 50-50. Do you remember the scene in The Naked Gun? The baseball scene, like the famous baseball scene of The Naked Gun.
Where he's going nuts as an umpire,
yes. Do you remember the whole idea is that they are trying to avoid, the reason he's doing all that is because he knows that the seventh inning stretch, there is going to be the third out will come, and then Reggie Jackson, somebody's going to try to kill the queen. Turns out to be Reggie.
Right.
And
way to give the movie away.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't seen The Naked Gun yet, it's on you. So you've had 30 years.
Okay.
So at the end of that scene, the umpire finally calls him out, and I think it's his boss goes, it's the third out! That's how I feel every time another team scores a third run against the Mariners. Oh, no! It's the third run! They can't score four, so that's done! I know it's only the fourth or fifth inning, but this is over! Look, that's all they got. If they can hold the other team to two, they're going to win the game. This offense stinks!
Yeah.
It stinks to high heaven right now, Brock. Nelson Cruz is the only one in it worth a piece of his own salt. That is it. The rest of them are bupkis. Awful. This is some of the worst offense I have ever seen. This harkens back to the just hit era of Lloyd and Eric Wedge and all of that. Get it together and hit the ball. Because when you play like this, you lose. You put pressure on your pitching, and it is hard to watch in the middle of those games when they take a nap for 2 hours. In the middle of the game.
Ashley and Lydia.
Hit the ball.
Ashley and Lydia, are you guys there right now? Are you there? Ashley? Lydia?
Yep.
Hit the ball!
Didn't Salk just say an hour ago when we were on with Lydia, like, you're good, man. You got that
I'm
all
totally
out of your system.
I'm totally not mad today. I'm in a great mood today. What's with this rain? What's with this?
No,
why are we hitting?
I was lying to you all.
Were you?
I was setting you up. I was setting you up.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
A bait switch.
I suckered you in to make you think, and then I...
Yeah.
Popped you with a right.
You look so good today. We're going to play golf.
Brock, hit the ball.
Oh, you look hot.
Why is it so hard to hit the ball?
You got your little cute golf sweater. You got it at your tournament. You look really good.
Because I want to talk about Felix today. It's an interesting conversation.
Sure,
people are split 50-50. But I can't do it with their stupid bats or lack thereof muddling the waters.
Yeah.
What is that? What are they doing?
You need to, like, have a control variable, and this is, like, one of those experiments where you can't have a control variable.
That's exactly
right.
As usual, yes. Exactly right.
Yeah, I would like to talk about Nicasio going to the DL 60 with a knee and be done for the year.
None of those things
I would like to talk
about
that.
Can't score four runs in
I'd like
game.
To answer your question because I did vote on your poll of Erasmo and Felix, and I really wasn't, unfortunately and sadly, torn on that. I did vote on that. But you're right. I mean, this offense now has its components together, save for Cano. Okay, so I get it. And I'm also real nervous to think that he's going to be the magic elixir and all of a sudden he comes back and everybody explodes. I'm not in that camp. But this was supposed to be the offense that was long, that was versatile, that had speed at the top, that had power in the middle, that stretches to Zunino and Healy sitting seventh and eight, hitting seventh and eighth in this thing and producing it.
Who would you start?
And this has been the worst month in all the American League scoring runs.
How'd you vote?
I'm starting Erasmo in four days in Texas.
So am I. And it's not that Felix, well, you know, obviously the results were okay. The process still wasn't great. And if you watch the game, he wasn't awful. I mean, he wasn't what he was a week ago. But come on.
You know, I said this going in yesterday. He just doesn't have it anymore. We have watched that now in that trend line over the last couple seasons. There just is not. What is his out pitch? What is his go-to? What is something that he can command that you feel
it's
great about?
It's become the curveball amongst everything else, but the fastball is so straight and so middling that, unfortunately, he nibbles with it because he doesn't trust it in the middle of the plate.
Correct. So it's 2-0. It's 2-0.
So he's always behind, and then they can wait for a pitch in the strike zone. Or he gets up 0-2. And he doesn't have a way to put anybody away. It's hard. Let's grab Scott and Renton right off the bat today, Brock.
Way to go,
grab
Scott.
And call. Scott, you're right off the bat. Go ahead. Line one. Hi, Scott. Good morning. Who would you start on next week in 4 days?
Uh-oh.
Oh, Scott, you panicked. All right, let's try Mike, who's in Edmonds. Mike, who would you start in 4 days?
Oh, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I'd start Erasmo in a heartbeat.
Yep.
I'd start Bergman. I'd start any combination of anybody from anywhere other than Felix. I've had it. So.
Oh, I didn't mean at the pitching spot. I meant at the other eight positions. No, I didn't mean pitcher. Obviously, you'd start Erasmo.
Well, he's giving it to
that
you.
That one's easy.
Putting Bergman at third. He just ran through for you.
All right.
Can I add one more thing?
Yes. Quickly.
I have a comparison of Felix and Earl Thomas, how they got to this point based on their egos.
Yeah.
You want to hear it, or have you got time?
We don't really have time, honestly. It's not that I don't want to hear it. It's that I want to try to buzz through a few, and we have three minutes.
Thank you,
so.
Mike.
Thanks, Mike. We love you. Jackson Maltby. Hi, Jack. Good morning. What would you do in 4 days?
I'd start Felix. I like the game that he threw yesterday, although he threw a lot of pitches. That's not what cost him that ball game. Ball under Seager's glove at third base, which usually he gets to, and if he's not going to play defense, his hitting isn't going to keep him in the game. And their inability to sacrifice bunt first and second when the ball game was tied 2-2 and Maven's up, he can't get a bunt down to move the runners up. No. I turn the ball game off.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, man. Yeah. Here's the thing. I understand the debate there, but you're just judging it on this one game?
Yeah,
I'm not judging it based on this one game.
They haven't been able to move runners up.
Yeah. No, I mean the Felix part of it.
Well, but
They got to be able to play small ball and move runners up at least.
Thank you, Jack, for the phone call. But that was the question, you know, and yesterday a lot of our conversation is this may be it. Does he have kind of one last shot in him left? And I think what you heard from the skipper last night, and I'll read into it in my own way, for my answer was, you know what, I don't really care about the results. What is his stuff like? What is the process like? What does it look like? What kind of depth does he have? What kind of command does he have? And you kind of check all those boxes. And if you're playing anybody but a really middling 4A Toronto team, that's probably, again, five or six runs.
As you said earlier, 4A might be generous. I mean, you're not talking about going up against Trout and the gang or the Yankees or Red Sox or Astros or the lineups that you got to face. You're talking about a Toronto team where you almost knew nobody in it. Although I was excited about the Felix against Teoscar thing. The whole odd couple like name thing coming together with multiple Hernandezes named Felix and Teoscar was pretty awesome. But that team stinks. I mean, Toronto's really, really bad.
And
I disagree with you, Brock. I don't think we were saying, let's see if Felix can give it one more shot. We're just saying this is probably the last thing you're going to see Felix do.
Well, I was hoping to see a little bit more. I was hoping to see something real sharp. I was hoping to see a changeup that was filthy and a curveball that was sharp and a fastball that he could command on the edges. He could not do that yesterday. And because of it, he threw five innings and 92-some pitches. And, Jack, you're right, Maltby. That ball got underneath Kyle. There's no question. That ball was also, 2 feet away from being a three-run jack in left center field. And first and third with nobody out, got very fortunate on a contact play to get out of that inning. I mean, he just doesn't have the stuff anymore. And it's really hard to see Father Time catch up with his stuff.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's hard to sit here and say start Erasmo Ramirez over Felix Hernandez because the two names conjure up very different images, obviously, in your mind. But I think it's time. I thought it was time after the last start. I continue to think it's time now. I didn't see anything yesterday that convinced me Felix Hernandez should be your fifth starter moving forward. 7:10, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
You know, Lydia, I really did. I wasn't putting you guys on. I really did feel fine with it. But then I started talking about the hitting thing, and it just came out of me.
The light goes on.
I don't know what happened.
And you can't fake the
funk. I don't know what happened to me.
Yeah.
Mariners lose 7-3 to the Blue Jays. Lydia said yesterday they might need to score 8. She was right. Lose the first of a 4-game series to an awful team. Felix Hernandez did go 5 innings, gave up 2 runs on 5 hits. A couple of walks and a couple of strikeouts. He wasn't particularly sharp. His manager didn't sound all that impressed. We'll see whether or not he's able to make his next start or whether Erasmo Ramirez ends up taking over for him. But that's not the issue right now. The starting pitching, for the most part, has given them a shot. They can't hit. Yeah. Other than Nelson Cruz belting 2 home runs yesterday, the hitting was miserable. Some bad swings, some bad situational hitting. They just have not been able to hit for going on a month now, Brock. And of all the issues you expected to see with this team, not hitting for that extended period of time was never supposed to be.
Yeah, and I think why Mariners' Twitter melted down last night, because I don't know if you got on that and looked, and I ranted just a little bit, and it was overwhelming. It was a tidal wave of complete negativity, which I get and understand after the last month plus of baseball, and especially offensively, is this was the Toronto Blue Jays coming in. And this was not the Toronto Blue Jays that you took 2 of 3 from in Toronto earlier in the year. This is Toronto Blue Jays team whose 3 best offensive players are all on the DL. They're not even in the lineup. Who threw a guy after starting their bullpen last night, which you got to with Clippard. Then they threw out a guy that was on the streets with an 11 ERA and a 2 whip that had not even been in Major League Baseball, whose manager said after the game, I had no idea what to expect. He was going to wear it one way or another, and he spun 6 shutout innings on you in a game and a series you have to have. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, meanwhile, they lose their lead in the wild card for the first time since May, and D. Gordon may have hurt his ankle.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Huskies start their camp. 5-star recruit, however, is it Ale Cahoe, decided to leave the UW program as unfortunate story. Football became secondary to some family struggles after some deaths in his family, so he asked for a release from his letter of intent. It sounds like that will be granted and he will move on. But this is certainly not any issue with the Husky program or the coach. This is simply, you know, some circumstances in the kid's life. Look, this Husky team is projected to be really good. What'd you say, number 5 in ESPN's preseason ranking? And, you know, they have an opportunity to compete for a national title. The question I think everyone's going to wonder is this. Is the quarterback, has he grown enough to be able to do that? Not physically, but yeah, in his game. Last year, there were a lot of chances taken. There was a lot of running around. There was a lot of trying to play a game that was not really his. If he can play his game, I feel like all the other things will take care of themselves. He's the one piece you're looking at, well, seeing if he can be the trigger man.
And he will also become the first in the history of the program to be a 4-year starter quarterback. A lot of good quarterbacks that have come through the University of Washington. There have been Hall of Famers. A lot of them played in the NFL for an awfully long time. Not one of them, not even one, started for 4 years, as Jake Browning's going to get the opportunity to do. And why? Well, because his first year, he was unbelievably mentally and physically tough as a true freshman. His second year, he had John Ross, and he exploded and tore up every record on Montlake, throwing 43 touchdown conference player of the year. Last year, a significant step back in many ways. A significant step back statistically, and I think even in his confidence. So, yes, it always starts at the quarterback position. If you're going to beat Auburn and Jarrett Stidham week 1 in Atlanta, in one of the 5 biggest games in all of college football, he's going to have to be at his best.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
NFL football kicked off last night with the Hall of Fame preseason game. So, guess what? It is football time. The Seahawks are now 6 days away from playing in their first preseason game, which almost doesn't seem real. But you know what? The weather's been fall-like recently, so I guess we're there. It was nice to see J.R. Sweezy hit the podium yesterday, and of all the things I heard, I liked hearing him say, yeah, I had other offers. I wanted to come back here. This place meant something to me. So I was kind of excited for that. I hope he does make the team. I hope he brings some of that physical nastiness back to this program that they've been lacking over the last couple of years.
Yeah, here's what you need to know. If you surveyed 1,000 sports talk radio shows all across America this morning, and they were talking about that Hall of Fame game last night, there were 2 topics. Lamar Jackson, who flashed some unbelievable speed and also threw a couple picks and was sacked like 18 times. But even more so, what the narrative is going to be, and it will become Thursday, is this new rule change in the NFL. That our head of officials at our seminar at ESPN last week said, I can't wait to watch because I think it's going to be a mess. It is so unclear as far as what is and what is not a penalty when it comes to their helmet. They left it very, very vanilla. And last night you saw a couple penalties that were insane. absolutely a clean football play from a defensive perspective that you have been taught to do from the day you started to play football, and try to reverse that out of guys hitting, just tackling and hitting with their eyes up. Yeah, their helmet got involved. Pretty darn shameful, and something certainly we'll be keeping an eye on.
All right, there you go. Those are three things you need to know every morning at 7:10. Hope T. Gordon's going to be okay. It's just like one thing after another kind of felt like.
Are you
like,
sure you do?
Huh?
Are you kind of intrigued as maybe see?
Oh, no. I hope he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, you hope you don't have a significant injury, but, you know.
No, I want to see him in there. And I don't know that I want to see him hitting leadoff every day, but, yeah, I want to see D. Gordon in there. I want to see the defense. I want to see the speed.
Yeah.
I want to see if he can get himself out of where he's been. And, you know, he took a walk last night,
he
Brock.
Did.
It was his first in, like,
you know,
2 months.
The challenge is a lot of these guys, when you look at it, they'll have some stretches. Haniger takes some walks. There's a hit here. There's the right thing. But there's just not any, like, collection. There's no cluster of traffic. There's no cluster of I'm hard to play against. There's nothing. There's so few.
All the things they were doing early in the year that have just dissipated. Well, let's talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Saul.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. And the price is only going to go up.
Every morning at 7:15.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus. A wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. Happy birthday to Tom Brady, number 42.
Oh, great day. I hadn't even considered
it. Isn't it
great? Yeah. You were at the game last night, huh?
Yeah, if you want to call it that.
Why? What happened?
It was pretty bad. It was pretty ugly. I mean, you know, the starting quarterbacks weren't there. Most of the starters weren't there. A lot of mistakes, a lot of officiating question marks. I mean, not a pretty start, but again, it's a great start because it's football.
Yeah, they got to do away with that game, John. Okay, they've got to do away with that game.
Yeah.
If nobody's going to play their starters in it because they're going to play four other ones. I saw Dave Pasch, my buddy down with the Arizona Cardinals. They did it last year. He said it was like the worst thing. Now, if you want to bring out the team, right, and you want to fly out the team and Ray Lewis have the Ravens organization or whatever, or prominent people do that. But you cannot play that game and have that kind of look to begin your NFL season, preseason or not, because you're right, it was awful.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess now that the Alliance of American Football is starting, it's like that's what you see. And I'm not knocking the Alliance, but that's the kind of game, and you're basically watching players 45 through 90 as opposed to 1 to 45.
If you were to have asked me last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and say the XFL will compete with the NFL, I would say there's no way, there is no chance, not at all. But I will tell you this: the NFL will destroy itself. And it will open the door for the XFL to play a violent game, a game where you can hit, where you can use your head, where you can play the game the way that we watched it for decades, John, because if they're trying to legislate the contact out of the game of football and the inability to even use your helmet to tackle, I think they open the door legitimately for somebody else to come in and say, no, we will play a violent game. I legitimately believe that for the first time in my life. You?
I'm not too far off, because, I mean, this is a rule they put in that they can't officiate. There's no way that they're going to be able to be successful, I think, in officiating a game like this. Because, I mean, look at the one play on the second one. Now, it took 4:52 for the first penalty to go. So that shows you how quick that was. But here's the second one. I mean, the player comes in. He's got his lower right shoulder in there with his shoulder pads. He makes the hit, and his helmet just happens to be there,
yeah.
And he gets the penalty.
How's T.O. doing?
What's that?
How's T.O.?
Don't forget him, I know that.
Uh-huh. How's he doing? Are you hanging?
Well, what was great is that, as we got the walk down to go to the locker room, one of the guys who was leading the walk down was given a jacket. I says, hey, is that T.O.'s jacket? It's like the gold jacket. And, it's like T.O.'s getting pretty well bashed right now by just about everybody. I know that Gary Plummer came out and ripped in, and, you know, people were anonymously saying, hey, the great part with T.O. is that you have a team of 52, and then you had him. And they talk about how he came in humble and how he changed.
Yeah, and when Tony Dungy, who, as you know, is one of the like greatest gentlemen in the NFL to have ever known, and last night he's on the broadcast, and even he's saying what Terrell doesn't understand is this isn't about him. It's about his family. It's about his high school coaches, his college coaches, his team. It's about so many people that get to celebrate with him, and instead, he's just going to have to make one of the most selfish scenes we've ever seen in any Hall of Fame.
Well, and then the sad part is, and I know that Carmen Policy, former president of the 49ers, tried to talk him through this, and he just didn't listen, and this is now the result. And so what you have is a Hall of Famer who's outside the Hall of Fame, and I don't think that, you know, years from now he's going to look back and say, I don't think I wanted it this way, but this is the way he did it. And, you know, now the fact that none of the five teams that he played for really wanted to endorse him.
Wow.
I mean, that shows you how bad it is. The 49ers, as an organization, certainly didn't want to come in and, you know, bail him out and come in and say, hey, we'll take care of all this stuff. They didn't want to do it.
Well, a little over 4 weeks from now, we will have five guys playing on an offensive line. J.R. Sweezy thrown right into the mix with the number ones yesterday. Welcome back. You're going to get your opportunity to show what you can do. If you were to pencil in the five starters right to left right now for week one in Denver, what does the O-line look like?
Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, don't forget Isaiah Battle. He's going to be battling right now for the right tackle job. But, I mean, clearly it's going to be Dwayne Brown. You know, left guard is going to be Ethan Posick. Then you've got Justin Britt at center. And then it's still up for grabs. I mean, they could take a Fetty and move him to guard. They could have Sweezy in there. But I think what you're seeing with the moves of experimenting with Fetty back at guard and then having you know, bringing Sweezy in, now he's 310 pounds, that maybe, just maybe, they don't have enough confidence right now that DJ Fluker, with his leg injuries and that, can make it through the season. So I think that job is way open for grabs. So too early to call one practice for J.R. Sweezy, but I think the fact that he's, and that does help.
John, we learned so much about you yesterday during the wild card. I felt like it was one of the ones that really gave us a window into who you are, and it's a great setup for today, because guess what we have for you? Fan Fiction Friday for a wild card.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card. Mr. Professor Clayton, it's time for Fan Fiction Friday.
Oh, boy.
John Clayton is a warrior king who earned his throne by overthrowing a small, rotund tyrant played by Seth Rogen. Clayton told everyone that he slayed Rogen, but in actuality, he just told him to scram and never came back. But he should have known better. Rogen ends up putting together a ragtag band of bandits to take out Clayton, so Clayton is left with no choice but to release his monster on the town, an ogre with impenetrable skin played by Boy Howdy. Will Howdy Ogre successfully stop Seth Rogen? And if he does, will Clayton be able to stop the deranged Ogre Howdy from destroying the town once Rogen is out of the picture?
Well, when does Seth Rogen get fat? Because now you say he was a rotund Seth Rogen.
It's been a back and forth issue for him.
This might be animated, John. This could be an animated flick.
That's a very good point. Yeah, no question about it. Well, I mean, let's put it this way. If I'm unleashing Howdy to go in there and just terrorize things, I mean, is there no chance that I'm definitely going to win this battle? And I think that, you know, the big thing is just keep Seth away from food.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if he keeps on, you know, putting on that weight, and that's not going to be good stuff.
I'm worried, though, about this impenetrable skin of Howdy's.
Right.
Now, if he gets too much power, are you going to end up having to side with Seth Rogen to try to take out Howdy when it's all said and done? Mm.
Well, you know what the impenetrable the skin is, because, I mean, as many times as you beat Howdy up on the air, I mean, he has to
right.
have
it's true.
Thick skin.
You know, yeah, this is there's a lot of basis in reality for
very,
this.
Very
all right, John, thank you. Have a good rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
Okay, thank you.
All right, there you go. There's John Clayton. His show is coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. That's a shame, Howdy. I was hoping the X-ray vision was going to make its way into the wild card for today, so... Didn't happen.
Dude, we got to get out. Okay, Dixon's going to be early.
I can't wait.
A punter is going to be early.
I just want people to know this. Brock and I were, the rookies can talk as of today. So they said, which rookie do you want? So we could have had Penny. We could have had Disley. We could have had Rasheem Green. We had all of the options open to us. And what did we say? We want the punter. Bring him on. Next, I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward. And Mike Salk.
I can't believe the sound you guys playing for me. I can't believe it.
What's up, mate?
I can't believe the sound you've played for me from what happened yesterday on Bob Gross and Tom. Ashley, you were there for this?
Oh, yes.
We're going to play it at 8 o'clock. I can't. I don't know how much longer. I hope I can make it till 8 without playing the sound of
Tom Wassel.
I
don't know
if
you can make it till 8.
I can't believe, like, you played it for me, and I still can't believe what
you're
I heard.
Teasing it like it's something like the freshwater. Is it freshwater? Is it better than freshwater?
It's arguably worse.
It's pretty close to freshwater, Lydia.
In a lot of ways, it's worse.
Yes, it's pretty close.
Well, I'm excited.
I think I could make a real claim that it's worse than the freshwater, saltwater, issues with rivers.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's...
Mississippi Mississippi's the ocean.
I mean, that is bad. Yeah. You know what? The freshwater part I think is forgivable. It is not worse than thinking the Mississippi River flows from the ocean north.
That was worse.
Salt water from the ocean that flows up.
Yes. But in that sense, the Mississippi River is the ocean.
That is maybe the funniest piece of sound in the history of 710 ESPN Seattle.
Same guy who makes that sound on that proclamation.
I got to play this from Tom. We'll do it at 8. We're waiting on Michael Dixon. He's just walking out right now. The Aussie punter, the rookie, MVP of his bowl game. Brock, this whole thing is just
MVP. MVP.
We're already chanting
MVP.
For him. Look at all this. It's just amazing how this is going down. All right, so here's the story. We said it yesterday. We were offered any rookie. NASA said to us, what rookie do you want? Who do you want to talk to? And we said, we want the punter. We want Michael Dixon. We want to know about the Wild Bill. We got to hear about these 9 different types of punts. And he's sitting down with us right now here at Seahawks facility. Good morning. How are you? Do you go by Michael or Mike?
Either or.
What do you mean either or? I'm a Mike. I go by Mike. You don't have a choice?
Not really. I had so many different nicknames when I first got here.
Like what?
Dundee, Aussie. Dingo. That back in Texas, here it hasn't been too bad.
All right, good. So there you go. So you just prefer Mike or Michael, not Dingo?
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to everything at this stage.
How did you end up here?
I played Aussie rules football, and I had a big kick in that sport, and heard of Australians making their way over and making the NFL. When I was younger, I used to watch highlights of the biggest kicks in AFL when they kick goals and everything, so I always had like a fascination for it. So, when my AFL career, I could see wasn't going anywhere, I decided that I wanted to learn how to punt in American football and met a coach there. And he said that I have the talent to play at college D1 this year, that year that I tried out. So, I just took it and ran with it and ended up at Texas and ended up at the Seahawks.
Why did the AFL career stall, looking back?
It's a different system over there. You need to get drafted at like 17, 18. And then after that, there's not really a way to get in. It'd be a lot of years of, I'd have to like move state and do all that and put my degree on hold. And I didn't really want to do that for too many years. I could see it was kind of a dead end. It wasn't really going anywhere. So I decided to, follow my sporting dream and ended up playing a different sport completely.
Would you describe Aussie rules football as sort of like American football but without pass interference? It just seems like most of the contact occurs in the one spot in this game where there is no contact. Like when you're going up for the ball, there's a lot of contact.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people jumping on people's backs to take a grab, but it's on a completely different field. There's no offside. There's so many different rules. It's just you have to YouTube it to understand.
It's fun to watch. I mean, whenever they play show it on TV, I will watch me some Aussie rules football. So all we know about you is that you have 9 different types of punts. Is this true? There are 9 different styles of punts?
Yeah, I mean, I'll learn anything. Like if someone comes up with a new type of kick, I'd do it. I'm sure there's more that I can do, but it's just,
what are
probably
they?
Probably 9 are effective. I've got some that
they got the dingo.
What are the different types of punts? What can we expect?
So there's different going in punts that I can do. That's going to try and throw the returner off a bit. It's all about going one way and hitting it another way and putting a different type of curve on the ball that hasn't really been done too much. And then I've got them, and then I've got different types of long field punts, and I don't want to give away too much in case they game plan for it or anything, but we've got a lot of different types of punts.
So the first time you kicked an American football, how old were you?
About 18.
You kick an American football for the first time and you think, what, like, this is
I wasn't too good. I was like, I knew that I had to get better at it, but I could kick an Australian football like how people punt here, and I could kick that really far. And I was like, I just need to get used to the different size and shape and weight of the ball, and once I get that down, I looked up the stats and everything and was like, I can easily do this.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I think I was your special teams coordinator I spent a little time with last week, and he said you grew up kicking a ball to somebody, whereas in America we tend to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. to everyone in America. Is that a fair kind of statement?
Yeah,
your
definitely.
Comfort level. Are you more comfortable kicking a ball to somebody than throwing it?
I'd say a little more comfortable throwing now because I've been doing that for like 3 years, just like throwing. But I mean, kicking, I used to be able to kick it like a quarterback would throw it to someone. That was the whole sport. So I mean, we'd see people going on like a lead, which is basically a route made up on the spot, and you'd have to sit it out in front of them with different types of distances and lengths and speed. Sometimes you'd have to drill them in low and hard, or like loft them over the top. So we've got, I mean, we do that every day.
So you show up here. John Ryan's been here forever, and he's not just giving up his job. What has that relationship been like?
I mean, he's a great competitor. He's a punting legend. So for me to even get the chance to go up against him is just a massive compliment. And I mean, he's such a great punter. Every day it's a battle, and he's making me get better just by the tough competition that he's putting up. But everyone should have expected that. You've seen his career. I mean, he's obviously a competitor. He's been doing it for so many years. I mean, he's a legend to me.
But are you on the lookout? I mean, I've heard stories, not from John, but from other punters of dirty tricks they will put on rookies, ice cold frozen balls that they'll bring out in preseason games, and you know, ways that they will find to kind of make sure that the rookie punter doesn't get his best opportunity. Are you on guard?
No.
Okay.
John's not that type of guy.
All right. Good. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah. He's,
Josh Miller was that kind of guy. I can tell you that for sure. He told me.
Anything stood out to you about this league thus far? I know you'll play your first game, what, 6 nights from now? But anything in your couple months of being here and even into training camp that has stood out differently from the collegiate game?
Not really. I'm not really trying to look for anything different. I feel like if I just treat it like I'm doing the same job that I was doing in college, I've just got to punt the ball in the right direction with good hang and good distance, and my job's the same. I don't want to try and hype it up too much in my head and put a different set of expectations on myself. I just got to do what I do best, and that's just...
How about holding the ball? I mean, that's one of the other parts of this job is holding on kicks, and not only have you had to learn it and do it, but you had to do it here with a righty and a lefty kicker, so you sort of two different directions. How's that been going for you?
I mean, I held in college, so it was never really an issue coming in here. I held fine. It was just learning to hold for a lefty. That was the only thing. But, yeah, holding for a righty is pretty, I mean, it's pretty natural now. I've not done it for a long time, had thousands of reps at it now. So, I mean, it's not an issue at all.
What is Wild Bill?
Wild Bill, that's actually a punt that that John has that I've learned as well. It's just kind of a ball that... It's focusing on getting a turnover, so you just kind of put it up there with no real spin or anything, and it just floats down in all different directions. It's really hard to judge as a returner, and you're hopefully going for like a muffed punt.
Kind of like a screwball.
Yeah.
So if we stand out here, and there's going to be a couple thousand fans on the berm today, and we stand, let's say, on this far right hash mark, right? The hash marks go down the middle of the field. We're standing there. On your boomerang...
Yeah.
How much like can you get that ball from here? We're punting towards we're punting that way.
Yeah.
How much can you make on a boomerang right or left? How much movement can you create on that ball? Can you kick that ball from that hash and boomerang it all the way to the far sideline?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's awesome.
And I can go from the left hash and aim that way, and it'll curve all the way and like land on the numbers.
It's sort of like a golfer with a draw and a cut. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
That sounds kind of awesome.
And what is
hold on. What about running the ball? Like, have we had any fakes? Have we had to run or throw the ball at all in your college career?
Run the ball. Yeah. It was more.
How'd that end?
I mean, I got the first down against OSU, and then against USC last year, I got 11 yards, but there was a holding penalty that wouldn't have affected me at all. So I was a little annoyed, but they called it back.
Did you get hit?
Yeah.
How'd that feel?
Like, it didn't really feel like anything.
Right.
It just probably because adrenaline, but I didn't really feel it at
it's
all.
It's kind of awesome. I mean,
it's been a pro, man.
I do.
Pro.
You, nothing is too big for you. You just seem very confident with this whole thing. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I kind of do a lot of visualization and a lot of self-talk. So if you're not confident going out there, you're not going to do very well.
Do you bring family here? I mean, do you know anybody here? Are you here by yourself?
Here by myself. I don't know anyone here. I got friends in Texas now, and I got my cousin that's following the punting job at Texas. So, I mean, we're like brothers, and we FaceTime and talk all the time. But No one up here.
Do you think you could catch one of his punts?
No.
Do you want to try?
Not really. Huh? No, I don't. I mean, I think I might be able to catch if he were to kick me a route, like if I'm running and he kind of kicks it over to me in a catchable way.
I don't know.
It's got to be easier than catching the balls you throw with a rocket.
It's just amazing. That is truly amazing to think about that he is, in his career, grew up really like kicking the ball as we've all thrown.
We got a question from the audience here. They want to know, if something were to happen to the kicker, are you prepared to go in a jam and either kick off or maybe more importantly kick a field goal extra point?
I drop kick.
Wait a minute. So you win the job, okay? And one of these two kickers wins. Sebastian Janikowski wins the job. And in game two, in the first quarter, somehow, some way, I know Janikowski's in good shape, but something happens and he's got to come out of the game with a hamstring. You have a 30-yard field goal. You would not take a hold. You would rather drop kick it.
Probably. Yeah. Oh,
dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, we've got to work on this.
At least preseason.
I mean, it hasn't happened since Doug Flutie. I was at the game where Flutie did it. It was amazing. So we've got to make this happen,
we'll
right?
We'll talk to Pete. Maybe preseason.
I'm very excited about all this. Yeah. Hey, it's nice to meet you. Congratulations on all of the success. And looking forward to watching you first in preseason, then possibly here in the regular season as well.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. There's Michael Dixon, new punter here for the Seahawks, drafted in the fifth round. Be right back. Coors Light's Blue 42 and 710 ESPN Seattle.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42. Blue 42.
You all right, Ashley?
I'm great.
You're still giggling over this.
Oh, this is about something entirely different, though. We'll have to tell
Don't
you
about, worry
later.
About it.
You're still giggling because we have the Australian punter on?
Maybe.
How was that?
Loved it.
Seriously,
he could just read a book and I would be happy. I don't even care what book it is. Just read a book to me.
Oh, man. Ashley doesn't need to see him drop kick a field goal, as cool as that would be. He just has to read. Just say anything.
Yeah, move over Andrew Luck and your book club. I mean, Michael Dixon book club is like could be taken off.
So he just sound, making shirts. Did he just sound cute?
Maybe.
Way to make it awkward, Brock.
Oh, sorry.
What's the matter with you?
All right. Well, he's a good-looking guy.
Man, what was that all about?
Why do you have to make this awkward?
He's a good-looking guy.
We're just talking about reading a book.
Sure. Okay,
why do you have to make this so awkward?
Whatever.
Question number one. Let's start here. Coors Light's Blue 42. You were at practice yesterday?
Yes.
Who shined? Give me a young player that stood out other than Michael Dixon reading.
Yeah, it was DeMaurier Stringfellow. Okay. And I wasn't projecting that because I wanted to see it. It was just a matter of, I'll give you three different plays that stood out to me that I think all represent the things that he's going to have to do or any of these wide receivers to make the team. Number one is speed. He just played fast. He was running by people. He was getting on top of these corners, and you know that they are taught to do one thing, and that is to stay on top. So just that raw ability, if you don't have it as a big guy in the system, it's going to be really hard to make the team or differentiate. More importantly, was playing through contact. There was a back shoulder fade to him down the sidelines, well covered. There was some contact with Shaquem Griffin on an underneath route. And just the ability as a 6'1", 210-pound guy to play to that size and strength. And then I think the coolest one and the last one was heading right towards the end zone that we find ourselves in this morning. And it was a little route, like a seam, skinny kind of post up the middle of the field. And he had the feel for the defense. And instead of running into darkness and running to be covered, he just throttled his route down enough to allow Davis to zip a ball into him for yet another big play. So just a multitude of different skill sets that he showed yesterday. And Stringfellow is going to be in this competition for the roster.
All right, question number two. I was listening to J.R. Sweezy yesterday, who was excited to get over to the podium. They were asking him about the differences between this system and the old one in blocking. And he said it's about 50% the same and about 50% different. Of those differences, who will benefit or maybe the opposite, but who will benefit the most from some of the new styles?
Yeah, I think Isaiah Battle benefits the most. And you heard Clayton reference his name in Blue 42, in our segment with him every morning. And
what's the part, man?
You put together an offensive lineman with, 6'7", long arms, powerful hands, strength in the lower half. I mean, he's got all of that. But what's funny is, and it's maybe not necessarily the way you would think it through. While the Seahawks ran outside zone, outside zone, outside zone, inside zone, they just ran basically one play. There was a lot of nuance to it. There's a lot of feel. There was a lot of processing going on between linemen. Like, I've got a combo block and get to this guy, and if this moves here and into this spot, like, there's a lot of thinking. Half of this new system, because that's still involved here, but the other half is what you call man blocking, and that is you block him. Like, you're just blocking down. You don't have to process. You don't have to think on your feet. You don't have to have all of these different, you know, thoughts in your mind. You just go hit that guy on a power play. You're blocking down. Doesn't matter who it is. It's the first color there, and you're going to block down, and you're just going to mash him and maul him. And I think that's to the advantage both of Battle, Fluker as well. It's why he was brought here. But I was very intrigued by Isaiah Battle last year. He nearly got himself on the field to play. He will be one of my guys I circle Thursday night in this preseason, of a guy that could very much be competing for with the Fetty for that right tackle spot.
All right, finally, question number three real quick here. The tough luck here, obviously, for this kid, first of all, but from a football perspective for the UW Huskies. Ale Keho is a young linebacker who was a big-time recruit, one of the biggest recruits they had in this really good class, and he, unfortunately, had some deaths in the family and now is asking out of his letter of intent so that he can take care of family business. Obviously, it's an enormous loss to him, but in terms of the UW side of it, how big a loss is this to their program?
2018, not a loss. 2019 and 2020, when a lot of these seniors graduated, will be felt, because he's one of the rare linebackers, and why he was the highest-rated five-star recruit, the best Peterson ever brought here, is he's one of those linebackers that had size, natural size, and natural speed. You know, they've gotten guys with size, not speed. They've gotten guys with speed, but not size. And you even see it at this level with linebackers. Really hard to find that mix of 230 and really twitchy and can run. So, yeah, really unfortunate for both the program and even more for the struggles going on in his family.
All right, there you go. Those every day, three football questions for Brock at 7:45. We'll be doing a Michael Dixon reading hour coming up a little later. Ashley will be the only audience for that, which sounds
That's okay. I'll be there.
Oh, Lydia, volunteering.
Yes.
Very nice.
I'm not alone. Just
Howdy.
Night.
No? Nothing? All right. All right. Coming up next, Brock, as I said, was spending some time at practice. We've got takeaways, but they're not single-issue takeaways. This is big picture. What have we seen through a week, as we're less than a week away now from an actual preseason game? Brock's got a few of those for you. Yes? You have something you'd
like to say? I just would like to propose before that.
You want the sound?
Well, I want the audience to decide between the three best pieces of sound in the last month. Clayton's role-playing, freshwater, saltwater.
That's more than a month.
Freshwater, saltwater, Mississippi River in this.
All right, you don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Salk.